Today, what we're going to do, for those of you who've been here, you know that we're kind of in a year-long study. The first Sunday of the month, we are doing spiritual disciplines. And the spiritual discipline that I would like for us to look at today is solitude. And the scripture text is up there, at least for it, Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 8. And as we get started, did you know that there are many places in the Bible where we are compared to trees? Trees that bear good fruit, like the fruit of the Spirit, or even bad fruit. Have you ever looked at your life and wondered why there is so little of the fruit of the Spirit and so many crab apples? Well, Jesus told this parable about a tree. And it's found in Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 8. And if you have your Bible and you opened, you can follow along there, or you can read up here. And many of you are already at it. I'm going to read it for you. And it reads like this. A man had an apple tree planted in his front yard. He came to it expecting to find apples, but there weren't any. He said to his gardener, "What's going on here? For 3 years now, I have come to this tree expecting apples, and not one apple have I found. Chop it down. Why waste good ground with it any longer?" The gardener said, "Let's give it another year. I'll dig around it and fertilize, and maybe it will produce next year. If it doesn't, then chop it down. Doesn't that make you just want to start bearing fruit? You see, the gardener of our soul is the Holy Spirit. He digs around our roots, and he feeds us so that we might bear good fruit. But unlike trees, we have a choice in the matter. We give him permission to garden us. In fact, we actually partner with him in this gardening process. The way that we partner with the Holy Spirit is through the classic spiritual disciplines, like Bible reading, fasting, contemplative prayer, confession, to name some of the ones that we've already spoken about. Today we're going to look at the spiritual discipline of solitude. See, just as nutrients strengthen the core of a tree, so solitude helps to strengthen our souls. Dallas Willard, he writes, "We must reemphasize the desert or closet is the primary place of strength for the beginner, as it was for Christ and for Paul. They show us by their example what we must do. In stark aloneness, it is possible to have silence, to be still, and to know that Jehovah is indeed God. To set the Lord before our minds with sufficient intensity and duration that we stay centered on him, our hearts fixed, established in trust, even when back in the office, shop, or home." So, just what is solitude? Well, just as fast is the abstinence of food for a spiritual purpose, solitude is the withdrawing to privacy for spiritual purposes. Now, the period of solitude may last for a few minutes. It may last for days. Solitude may be sought in order to participate without these interruptions in some of those other spiritual disciplines. Or maybe it's just some time to be alone with God. In both Richard Foster and Donald Whitney's books on spiritual disciplines, they partner the discipline of solitude and silence. And they do so rightly because the two of them do go together. Because even when we do not fill our lives with people, we can fill our lives with noise. TVs, radios, they keep us company. What? iPods. I got that coming up too here. Yes, iPods. In modern times, we have every convenience to fill our ears and eyes with noise which serves to drown out the voice of God in our ears and the image of God in our eyes. True solitude, it removes ourselves from company, from other people. But it also removes ourselves from those other distractions as well. Now we're going to look at the discipline of silence a little bit later on in this series. Because there's just too much to be said about the two of them to try to cram it all into one message. You see, being alone does not always go hand in hand with being quiet. I have been known to talk to myself out loud. I actually had a job site that I was working at. The lady goes, "Do you always talk to yourself out loud like that?" I mean, she picked up on it. I have even been known to carry out an audible conversation with God. I'd be out running and I'll talk to God. I'm talking out loud to him. So being alone and in silence don't always go hand in hand, in my case. See, out of all of the spiritual disciplines that are out there, this is the one that makes me sigh. Like when you think of chocolate, oh, the relief of it. I would like nothing better than to spend time in solitude with God. See, when my life gets really busy, and sometimes when it's not, just sometimes when I get agitated, I need to be able to get away and to be alone. My heart cries out for a time when I can get away and just be with God and just be in His presence, just Him and me. Nothing replenishes my soul like solitude. Bono sings about his yearning to get back to the loneliness of Africa in his song that's titled, "Where the Streets Have No Name." The lyrics, they go like this. "I want to run. I want to hide. I want to tear down these walls that hold me inside. I want to reach out and to touch the flame where the streets have no name. And when I go there with you. It's all I can do." Did you know that some people actually fear being alone? Foster writes, "Our fear of being alone drives us to noise and crowds. We keep a constant stream of words, even if they are meaningless or pointless. We buy iPods and MP3 players that we can strap to our arms or neatly fit into our pockets, so that even if nobody else is around, we are not condemned to silence." T.S. Eliot analyzed our culture so well when he wrote, "Where shall the world be found? Where will the word resound? Not here. There is not enough silence." But loneliness or clatter are not the only two alternatives. We can cultivate an inner solitude, a silence that sets us free from the loneliness and fear. See, loneliness is inner emptiness. Solitude is inner fulfillment. See, solitude is not first a place, but it is a state of mind. And it's a state of your heart. Foster says at the beginning of his chapter on it that Jesus calls us from loneliness into solitude. Now, for some of us, we don't much like being alone because we really don't like ourselves. We don't like our own company. Or maybe because our personality is so shaped by the people around us that we don't even know who we are when we are alone. Now, it may have to do whether you are an introvert or an extrovert. Introverts, they gain their energy from within, and they are drained by exterior stimulation. Extroverts, on the other hand, they gain their energy from exterior stimulation, and they are drained by the interior work. I am an introvert. Some of you might be surprised by that. I enjoy being alone. I really do. I grew up, spent a lot of time on my own. When we were growing up as kids and teenagers and stuff, I had my own room. My brother and sister shared a room because I needed to be alone. When Lisa and I were kind of starting in California, we started before that, but we were in California in 92 to 95 at the church in Santa Cruz. Get this. When I went to church, I was required to at least wear a shirt and a tie, and most of the time, I had to wear a suit. I had to meet people and greet people and shake their hands and talk with them and do all kinds of things like that. And to you, it might sound strange. To me, that was really, really taxing. And it was really, really hard. And a lot of days, at the end of the service, when the service was over, I would go home in the afternoons, and I just had to be alone. No television sometimes, nothing else. Just sit in a room by myself. And Lisa picked up on that, and she allowed me the time to sit there and do nothing. Just to be able to recharge and relax. Now, some of you may have picked up on that. Even here, even now, some days are just hard. When we're in here and all these people are talking, or go downstairs when we're having a fellowship, a potluck or something downstairs, and all this stuff is going on, many times you will see me off in a corner, off in an area by myself. That much noise, man, it just overwhelms me. And it's hard. It is really hard for me to get out there sometimes going on. Now, I make it an effort, and I really, really try at times to get up and talk with people, but sometimes it is just draining. And afterwards, I got to go home and run or play soccer or softball or do something else that just helps me to relax. But whether you are an introvert or you are an extrovert, you're fearful or you're expectant, we all need to practice solitude. Because it will strengthen our souls. Now, we only have to look at Jesus' life if we want to find the practice of solitude in Scripture. Jesus inaugurated his ministry by spending 40 days in the desert alone. Before he chose the 12, he spent the entire night alone in the desert hills. When he received the news of the death of John the Baptist, Scripture tells us that he withdrew there on a boat to a lonely place apart. After the miraculous feeding of the 5,000, Jesus made the disciples leave. He cleared out the crowd, and then he went up into the hills by himself. Pastor Frank, you didn't even know I was going there. Not at all. That's it that he did. Following a long night of work, Scripture tells us in the morning, a great while before day, he rose and went out to a lonely place. When the 12 returned from a preaching and a healing mission, Jesus instructed them, come away by yourselves to a lonely place. Following the healing of a leper, Jesus withdrew to the wilderness and prayed. With the three disciples, he sought out the silence of a mountain for the stage of the Transfiguration. As he prepared for his highest and his most holy work, Jesus sought out the solitude of the Garden of Gethsemane. Now you can go on and on, but hopefully this is sufficient to show that the seeking out of a solitary place was a regular practice for Jesus. And if we are a Christ follower or a follower of the way, then maybe it should be for us as well. Now, there are several benefits that I came up with for practicing solitude. The first one is that of being real. Someone once said, true character is who you are in the quiet of solitude. All pretensions can be stripped away before God. As the song says, just as I am. Else, my identity is caught up in the fact that I am God's. Being alone with him might be scary. But if you're not sure what he thinks about you, you are God's adopted child. He chose you, each and every one of you, and he loves you. Amen. Remember that doubt. The Christ followers, the believers in Ephesus, in his book in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, here's what he has to say. I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that you may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how high and long and wide and deep is the love of the ability to know the love of God for us, each and every one of us. Another one of the benefits of solitude is that of getting centered. You see, it's in my time of solitude that I'm able to take a broad view of my life and look at where I've come from and where I'm going, and to remember my calling and my purpose. I can make those big decisions and make plans without the distractions of all the other things, of big moments in his life. Trudeau's long walk in the snow before he resigned as prime minister has long become part of Canadian history lore. Whitney, in his book, he tells us how Billy Graham was being pressured by this guy, his name is Charles Templeton, to give up his belief in the inspiration and authority of the scriptures. And Templeton had many convincing arguments that Graham was having trouble refuting. And it was a very tumultuous time for him. Graham took some time in solitude, and he meditated on the many times in scriptures where it says, the word of the Lord came. He saw how Jesus treated the scriptures, and he realized that intellect alone would not solve his problem, that it was actually an issue of faith. So he placed his Bible on a stump and he knelt down and he said, "Oh God, I cannot prove certain things. I cannot answer some of the questions church is raising and some of the other people are raising as well. But I accept this book by faith as the Word of God." See, and it was through that time of solitude and the perspective that Billy Graham gained on that night that shaped him into the man that the world has known ever since. A third benefit that I have is that of learning to live a life of integrity. Now, Max Lucado, one of my favorite authors that I like reading, he has written a book, a children's book. It's called You Are Special. The Wemix. They spend all of their time judging each other. They give gold stars to those people who impress them, and they give gray dots to those people who do not impress them. Now, Punchinello, he's the main character, and he discovers that the dots and the stars, they do not stick when you spend time with the Maker. You see, when we are tempted to live in a way that will please those around us, rather than to live in integrity with who the Father has called us to be. See, the more time that we spend in solitude with the Father, the less other people's judgments stick to us. You should read the story sometime. So if there's all these benefits and solitude is beneficial for the Christian life, then how do you go about practicing solitude? The first way is through daily solitude. And traditionally, as Christians, we've called that having a quiet time, taking 10 or so minutes out of your day and finding a place where you can be alone and quiet yourself before God. Now start with 10 minutes, and you may find you need more time than that. Did you know that Martin Luther felt that he needed 5 hours a day alone with God so that he could accomplish all that he had to do? It's a long time. Some people may find it easy to quiet themselves before God. Now others of us, we need exercises. We need to find ways to still our minds and our hearts. When you're ADD or you're ADHD, or whatever you want to call that, or AA, which is adult attention deficit disorder, being still and being quiet are not easy. But when you start working at it, you can get there. I know, I have to work at it. I have to work really hard. Many people read and they meditate on scripture and they use devotional guides to help them. It's also a good time as people to bring our requests before God. But it's also important that we listen to God during this time. And then to not use the scripture and the readings and the prayer as a way to distract us from actually being in God's presence. The important thing is that you get alone and recognize God's presence. Recognize that He is there with you before you read and you pray. Now, it would be great if you could find a space to set aside as solitude space, so that even if there are people all around you, when they see you in that space, they know that you are wanting as much solitude as can be afforded. We're going to have a little solitude booth. And whenever you're there, people know just to leave you alone. The little red light will come on and people will just stay out. Susanna Wesley, she was the mother of John and Charles Wesley. She had a really large family. And when she needed solitude, what she would do is she would take her apron and she would bring it up over her head, so that she could pray and she could read scripture without being bothered by the children who were running all around. So when her apron was over her head, leave her alone. They learned it. That's what she found to do. Now, once you've learned this discipline of solitude and how to do that, did you know that you can steal solitude in the most everyday places when you get alone? When you go to get in your car, turn the radio off. And just spend time while you're driving alone with God. Recognize God's presence with you as you're riding the elevator. And as you're going up, you're actually getting closer to Him. Walk through a park on the way home and be conscious of walking with God and all of His creation around you. Now, I try to make myself aware of God's presence in the solitude as I'm out running. And I enjoy running. And when I'm running from the house to the church on a Sunday morning, I have a long time to spend with God. And every year it gets a little longer. Oh, I feel it some days. They say that you can be alone even if you are standing in a crowd. So if you have honed this discipline of solitude, when you're alone, you can actually start practicing it. When you're waiting for the subway, or you're walking through the mall, or you're standing in a great big crowd. Now, when you think of solitude and being alone, one of the first things that might come to your mind is a retreat. And a retreat is a great way to start practicing the discipline of solitude. There are places that you can go to be alone with God. You might have a piece of geography where you went one time and you just really found God. And you like to go back there constantly to find Him and to be alone. For me, it's running. Treadmill. If you have no idea how to spend your time alone with God on your retreat or when you get away, many of these retreat centers that you can go to, they actually have spiritual directors who can listen to you and help to steer you and help to direct you and guide you as you begin this process. If you're really struggling with how to do this, talk with one of us staff, one of the pastors, and we'll see if there's not a way we can help to direct you or to guide you as you begin this discipline of solitude. Now, you might think that solitude is only for super Christians, or for people in full-time ministry, or for people who are really, really messed up, or maybe a little bit of all the above. The truth is that I believe that all Christians should take some kind of solitary retreat, some way to get away. See, if you're having issues in your life and you're trying to resolve them, think about all the time that you have taken to worry about them. And that you've been trying to work them out. Wouldn't it be good to take a little bit of time to ask God what He thinks? See, my retreats, they help me to study, to get connected with God as my friend. On those retreats, in the moments of solitude, I'm often able to do some very important planning and thinking and visioning where I'm going and where we're going as a church. I can do all of this in the presence of God, in my solitude. And as I close, I want to close with this. Jesus says to us, come away by yourselves to a lonely place. As we move into this month of May, I would challenge you, if you've not done it before, to begin somehow doing this practice, this spiritual discipline of solitude. Will you heed Jesus' call?